You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Brand new day with Emily Blue right here on We Talk Radio. I'm your host, Emily Blue, here with co-host Deanne Lax. Thank you for joining us. And happy Father's Day to each and every father, grandfather, and father figure. Whether it's the beginning or end of your day personally, we want you to sit back and relax and enjoy as we inspire and uplift your lives. Here's Jay Moss with Praise on the Inside, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself. A holler stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange, but praise is the way I say things. Sometimes I just get so bubbly on the inside, I just wanna holler it out, come on.
There's a praise on the inside that I can't keep to myself.
A holler,
holler, stirring up from the depths of my soul. So excuse me if I seem a little giddy or maybe even strange.
Hallelujah.
Praise is the way I say thanks.
Now this is what I want you to do with that praise. Let it breathe.
Let it breathe.
Put your hands together.
I can't keep to myself.
A holler,
a holler, stirring up.
Oh, you ain't praise him until it came from your belly.
This is Coach A from Wise Money Mindset, and you're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
That was the legendary Clark Sisters with Keep Moving. You're tuned into the best of conversation and inspiration radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. It's time for your Fresh Start segment, Creating the Balance. There are sayings about fathers such as, he's his son's first hero and his daughter's first love. Heroes provide an imaginary sense of security for a young boy, and they project the strength and courage that every boy longs for. While the first man a girl interacts with should equally provide a feeling of protection and help her feel confident by loving her unconditionally. But where does a father acquire such traits? Carrying the weight of the world can be an absolutely burdensome task for fathers, ensuring that needs are met, time is spent, and work is done. Unfortunately, today, many of our fathers cannot enjoy the privilege of being celebrated because the bad often overshadows the good. But we are here to say, we love you, fathers. When I think of fathers, I can't help but to think of my own daddy, Willie Duncan's, who to this day will come to my rescue, who still buys me gifts, and who loves his children, grandchildren, and in loves undoubtedly. My brother, sister, and I are very blessed to have him in our lives. I am also grateful that my children can celebrate their father and my husband, Ramon Lax, who loves, protects, coaches, and supports our family through it all. Our parenting has not been perfect, and we've struggled during pivotal moments in our life. But his faith has allowed me to watch him climb up with his eyes watching God, always on the path to return and unite his heart to his first and ultimate hero and love, God, our Heavenly Father. Love is a special action that, once it is felt, it's hard to rid of. It is important that fathers develop a unique bond with their children that allows nothing to come in and separate their love for one another. We, as women, can help strengthen a child's relationship with his or her father by staying in constant prayer about our relationships and providing the opportunity for families to grow together. Even from the pregnancy announcement, every little miracle and movement of life is an opportunity to seize the moment of capturing a daddy's heart and creating a forever bond. After having our son, look, I remember it took some time to adjust to my husband changing diapers or feeding in his own way. Even as a new mother, I thought I knew what was best for our baby. Boy, did my understanding of parenting change immediately when I saw my husband go from eager to feeling chastised in a matter of minutes. I then realized that I could let him share in the responsibility, or I could do it alone. As the months and years went by, I grew an understanding that it is nearly impossible for two people to share the same exact mindset when it comes to anything, especially parenting. Not only did we have to meet to be on the same path, but our differences actually helped our children flourish and allow them to experience balance. While families seek fathers for provision, security, and wisdom, these things cannot be acquired on our own. They come from God. Today, fathers are bogged down with health issues, financial woes, and other issues that may cause strife. But trust in the Lord where your strength and help comes from. When fathers begin to seek instruction from the Lord, their foundation is set. Proverbs 4:1-13 tells us, "My children, listen when your father corrects you. Pay attention and learn good judgment, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my instructions, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved as my mother's only child. My father taught me Take my words to heart. Follow my command, and you will live. Get wisdom. Develop good judgment. Don't forget my words or turn away from them. Don't turn your back on wisdom, for she will protect you. Love her, and she will guard you. Getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And whatever else you do, develop good judgment. If you prize wisdom, she will make you great. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will place a lovely wreath on your head. She will present you with a beautiful crown. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's ways and lead you in straight paths. When you walk, you won't be held back. When you run, you won't stumble. Take hold of my instructions. Don't let them go. Guard them, for they are the key to life. Have a wonderful Father's Day, fathers. This is your Fresh Start.
You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We're so excited you have tuned in as we celebrate fathers, grandfathers, and father figures during this special Father's Day broadcast. We know you are going to enjoy today's topic, Renaissance Men, Honoring Our Fathers. Here's Brother by Angie Stone on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio.
He is my king, he is my one. Yes, he's my father, yes, he's my son. I can talk to him, cause he understands everything I go through and everything I am. He's my support system, I can't live without him. The best thing since sliced bread is his kiss, his hugs, his lips, his touch. And I just want the whole world to know about my life. Brother, I love you, and I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true, cause you're my black brother, strong brother, and there is no one above you. I want you to know that I'm here for you forever, true. Misunderstood. Yeah. Some say that he's up to no good around the neighborhood. Well, for your information, a lot of my brothers got education. Now check it. You got your Wall Street brother, your blue collar brother, you're down for whatever, chilling on the corner brother, your talented brother, and to every one of y'all behind bars, you know that Angie loves you. On my life. Brother, I love you. I'll never try to
no,
hurt
no,
you.
No,
I want you to know that I'm here for you, for you,
cause you're my
black brother. I love you.
Brother,
I'll never said try I'll
never
to hurt you.
You.
I want you to know that I'm here for you, forever,
brother,
cause
brother,
you're my
brother.
Black
unshakable
faith, you're my black brother. I love you.
you. I'll never try to hurt you. I want you to know that I'm here for you. My brother, strong brother, there is no one other. I want you to know that I'm here for you. Only you.
Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. Hi, Mom. My grandmother raised me. Terrell Owens gives an interview. He talks about the impact of his grandmother raising him. And I sit there and I always say, man, where is Daddy?
Right. Let me tell you something. I had an incident happen here several years ago. On Father's Day, we had these boutonnieres that we were going to have handed out to the men. And one of the little kids came up to the altar here and said, you've been like a father to me. And he pinned it on me. And little by little, more and more people started pinning the corsage. They had no fathers to give them to until I had all these corsages all over me. And they were hugging me and they were crying. Some of them were grown people. What they didn't know is that the pins were sticking in my chest. Okay? They had pinned me so much that I was bleeding under my clothes. But I didn't stop them from pinning it because I knew it was an important moment in their life. I tell that story because being a father is a painful process. Being there and standing there and not running because you're tired and not running because you want to quit and not running because you're not happy every day means there's going to be some pins stuck in you. But somebody has to, having done all to stand there anyway and go through the painful process of rebuilding our families.
You're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio.
You're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue, and it is time for the Renewed Heart segment. I admit it, I am a daddy's girl. As we all know, relationships have their ups and downs, highs and lows. And relationships with your fathers are no exception, even to me. Although it was a winding road to get back to it, I am truly a daddy's girl. I remember growing up was a challenge for me as a young girl. My parents divorced when I was in the sixth grade. It was a painful and difficult time for me because I always longed for my dad's everyday presence in my life. Yes, my brother and I spent time with him frequently through the year, but it was not the same as being there daily. It made me feel some type of way emotionally. I bottled all my feelings up until I went to college. One day, it all came bubbling up and I released it all as if I exploded. My dad and I started having tough conversations about how I felt all those years and how I was feeling at the time. It was really tough. But eventually, we got to a place where we rebuilt our dad-daughter relationship. He is my rock, and I can depend on him for anything. I talk to him almost every day, definitely every week. That bond grows stronger and stronger every day. I now look forward to how our relationship is growing and moving forward, as opposed to what shoulda, coulda, woulda been or shoulda, coulda, woulda happened.
If you are struggling with your relationship with your dad, whether you are a son or a daughter, I want you to know that it's never too late to build a healthy and meaningful relationship with your dad. Life is short and precious. After all, we only get one. That's our Renewed Heart segment for today. Here's Black Gold by Esperanza Spalding featuring Algebra Blessed, right here on the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
What's up, guys?
What's up, man?
How was school?
Good.
Yeah? What'd you do?
We got to pet my teacher dog.
She brought her dog to school?
Yeah.
Yeah? So what'd you learn today in school, man?
We're starting world history.
Oh, yeah, world history?
Yeah, today we learned about Africa, and tomorrow we're going to learn about Rome.
Wait, wow, so one day for Africa, huh?
I guess.
Well, what did you learn?
That there were pharaohs and big, huge pyramids in Egypt.
Uh-huh.
And that there are 86 countries on the continent.
Wow, mm-hmm. I like this.
And that a lot of slaves came from West Africa.
Oh, that's what you learned?
Yeah. And also that the oldest bones of humans was found there.
Were found there.
Huh?
Were found there. Well, did you learn that Africa was full of queens and kings and some of the first democratic societies were found in Africa?
No.
Africa was full of thousands of languages and religions. Watch yourself. And that some of the most amazing artists and scientists that ever walked the face of the earth lived in Africa?
No.
And that man's oldest relatives, like one of the most sustainable civilizations ever, started there in Africa and still lives there today, actually. Did you learn any of that?
No.
Okay. Well, after dinner, we're going to look at some of my African history books, okay?
Okay.
To see who you are, little man. Life sometimes is cold and cruel. Maybe no one else will tell you, so remember that you are black gold, black gold. Black gold with a diamond sword.
to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio. Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. We're discussing, during this special Father's Day broadcast, Renaissance men honoring our fathers. So when you think about Renaissance, what do you think about, Deanne?
So, you know, I actually had to look it up because because I was familiar with the term that we use, you know, from the Harlem Renaissance and so many other subjects. But in this case, when I found the definition as to what Renaissance actually meant, I thought it was extremely appropriate for our dads. And mm-hmm. that's a person with many talents or areas of knowledge. And so when I think about dads, you know, it used to be the show Father Knows Best. Yeah. And you think about Father Knows Best. And honestly, I believe that's the way God designed it. For the father, when he is in operating in the spirit, that he knows best because he's following God's ordained footsteps. You know, he's doing what he's being directed to do. So when I think about a Renaissance man, a man of many talents, a man who has knowledge, I mean, when I think of a father who is operating in the spirit, mm-hmm. that is truly a Renaissance man, and what a gift he is to this world. You know, I don't want to get, I know sometimes we get kind of caught up in bashing our fathers, and times have changed quite a bit. We used to be very heavily oriented male. I mean, well, everything used to be kind of father and male oriented, and now it's kind of made a transition to female oriented, and I understand why. There's a reason behind that. But I think if we can get back to our roots, going back to that Revive Us Again, get back to our
roots. Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I know a lot of things have been taken away from us. If we can get back to our roots and just think about the importance of having a man in the household and what it does for the family. I mean, we could really have some strong families.
Absolutely, because we know that script biblically, the man is considered the head, not saying that he is the dictator and everybody are the subservient underneath him, but that he extends the lead, he prepares the way so that the family can follow and do what is needed to be done within their family structure. And so when I think about a Renaissance man, I think of also a man who is, like you said, gifted, can do many, many things, such as can be a leader, can be a provider, can be the priest of his home, and is intellectual. It's just a plethora of things. And so, and there are so many examples from we think about the celebrity dads on the TV sitcoms to everyday fathers. So like what I know for me, when I look at TV, I think about some of the dads that kind of, you know, I can kind of see my dad qualities in.
Right.
Like, you know, I know this might be unpopular for some of you out there in our listening audience, because you might feel some type of way about the Cosby Show and Mr. Bill Cosby, but I need you to open your mind, and I need you to think about the character and not the person.
Right.
Bill Cosby, I know that they were what is called the bourgeoisie or the elitist kind of family, but his fathering was universal. Bill Cosby's fathering was very universal. I remember the episode when when Theo was talking to his dad, he was talking about his grades. And he was talking about a regular life.
Right.
With a regular job. And regular people.
Right. And his dad told him when he said, I want you to accept me just the way I am because I'd accept you just the way you are, Dad. And his dad told him,
that's the
stupidest thing, the dumbest thing I ever heard in my life.
Yes, definitely. As my dad used to say that Heathcliff Huxtable, he had some winners. My dad used to say he had some winners. So yeah, he had some winners. He definitely could relate to the old school way of parenting.
I brought you in this world. I can take you out. Yes,
take you out. Definitely, definitely.
And I know that you and I didn't grow up around the whole time that The Good Times was on, and we watched the reruns, right? But I love the authority that James Evans walks in. You know, James Evans, he walks in such great authority and leadership in the family, and he disciplines. He disciplines, and that's one of the things that men, they set the tone because they set the pattern for the discipline in the house. And James did not play.
No, he did not.
He did not play at all. He didn't let them come in and out of the house when they wanted to come in and out of the house. Right. Matter of fact, when they had company, because you know, when we were growing up then, even you know, at the very beginning, if you went over somebody's house down the street and you did something, they had authority from your parents or grandparents to take care of you if you got out of line.
Exactly. Exactly.
And so when James and him had the visitor,
Michael
was trying to help him out with his grades and stuff because he was bullying him, James extended his rod of correction to him.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and it's funny because my father, he was a disciplinarian. Like, both my parents were. Actually, my father was, but my mother, I would have to say that she was probably the stronger disciplinarian, and that's because my father, when it came to, he kind of wimped out on that area sometimes. Like, he was down for, like, now I ain't saying I didn't get any spankings. He spanked me. He did provide some discipline. But if you got a spanking from my daddy, okay, you were in trouble.
Right.
Because those spankings were really directed for my mama to do. And it got to the point where she would even be like, okay, why I always got to be the one? But if you got one from him, oh, you was really on his nerves.
Yeah, you messed up. You messed up
all the way up. And that's how I used to be, you know. Daddy was the provider. He was a disciplinarian. He was this, he was that. But then ultimately, he was the last path you wanted to cross, you know. And I think about spiritually even. I think about how, you know, we may do things, and I tell our kids today, you know, I said, we were just talking to our kids the other day about this, saying that you think that our punishment may be harsh. God's punishment is the real deal. So look, we're the last ones that, you know, you go through us with the disciplinarian. Well, we're the disciplinarians, but then if you have to go through him, hey,
woe unto you.
So we try to encourage, you know, honor thy father, honor thy mother the best we can, because we know that ultimately God is our heavenly father, and that's the discipline. Whew. But anyway, back to those TV dads. Are amazing. And James Evans, like, hands down, he was a very serious guy too. Like, he didn't play. Like, I mean, he was funny. He had his little funny times, his little funny periods, but he didn't play with kids. You know what I'm saying?
No, no, no. And he made sure you knew he was the priest of his home.
Exactly.
He walked in his authority.
He walked in it, and it's, you weren't finna come in his house acting no type of way that he didn't condone. And he was not afraid to let you know that. And so I appreciate that about James Evans, that the authority that he brought and what Good Times represented to our families. I mean, that was a major deal. And then the loss of James, you know, what a pivotal point in that family's life. And when you think about in reality, how, you know, the loss of fathers or the presence, whether it be in death or just, you know, divorce or separation, the loss of fathers is an extremely hard thing in a family, because it's just one that it takes a lot of repair once that loss is gone. And, you know, and I think about even George Floyd. You know, we have a lot of babies whose parents were unlawfully killed recently.
Yeah.
And they're going to be experiencing their first Father's Day without their father.
You know what? Again, I didn't even, you know, with all of the loss that we've experienced, I hadn't even really, like, thought about it. Thought about it. We got George Floyd's kids. We Ahmaud Arbery. We got Rayshawn Brooks.
Yeah. And he was going, you know, and his daughter's birthday was the day he was killed. So, I mean, that is a burden, Lord, you know. But I have to say that children especially are very resilient, thank God. And God told us he'll be a father to the fatherless. And if we put our prayers and our trust and faith in him, you know, prayerfully we'll see some strength on the other side when it comes to those children. As a matter of fact, I just read an article that said that Texas Southern University was giving a full scholarship to George Floyd's daughter. His six-year-old daughter. So,
oh wow, yeah. You know,
so hopefully, when that day comes, you know, this will be, this tragedy will find some triumph in her receiving a college degree.
Let's even think about Kobe.
Yes, Kobe Bryant.
Kobe Bryant and and his daughter dying, and this is their first Father's Day. Got a newborn baby who will never know
him,
her father, in the way that her older sisters that are still living know him.
And he, you know, this whole girl dad, you know, is basically kind of a tribute to him as well with the girl dad thing. And yeah, that's a significant loss. It's a lot, you know. I mean, I know you and I, our mothers are gone on, and that pain is real. It's fresh. I mean, mine is I believe 18 years of that. Yeah, 18 years. And it's still, when I think about somebody else's pain and what they're having to endure, and this is their first time, that pain is fresh for me as well.
It triggers.
So I'm very grateful. I'm very grateful to have my father, to be able to say, Dad, I love you, to be able to pick up the phone, to be able to see him and to have him enjoy our kids. I don't take that for granted. And for those who whose fathers have gone on, you know, our prayers are definitely with you. That is, our prayers are with you.
Yes, yes. So we're going to be right back and talking more about Renaissance men and honoring our fathers. You're listening to Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio. And we're just really excited just to honor our fathers and talk about our dads. But first, here is the late Luther Vandross with Dance With My Father.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. How I'd love, love, to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even more than me. Dance with my father again. Every night I fall asleep, and this is all I ever dream.
Wake up, get up, stand up, it's
It's time for the Live Smart segment here on Brand New Day with Emily Blue on We Talk Radio. I want to talk to you about longing for Dad. For many reasons, like Mother's Day, Father's Day can especially be hard to navigate. After all, like moms, dads play a significant role in our lives at any age. If you have not had your dad in your life, or he has passed away, there is a hurt that is painfully deep. You miss them in your lives. You miss them not being here. If you are longing for a relationship with your dad, and you're still able to develop one, I encourage you to go through the necessary steps to do so. If your dad has passed on, I encourage you to do something this and every Father's Day to remember him by. That's our Live Smart segment.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue and Dion Lax, right here on We Talk Radio. And we're here talking about Renaissance men honoring our fathers. Today is Father's Day. Ladies and gentlemen, what a wonderful day to celebrate. And Dean, I was in the store at the beginning of May. Okay. I mean, not May, but in June. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to get my dad's Father's Day card because I wanted to shop early because, you know, we're dealing with a global pandemic right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm really not about that life. I'm really not trying to be in any store for any length of time, very long. I want to go in and get out.
Right.
Everybody's not being responsible, but I digress. I was looking for my dad's Father's Day card, and I was like, ma'am, where are the Father's Day cards? And she was like, we don't have them out right now.
Wow.
So you're going to come back in 2 weeks. I was like, okay. Why don't y'all have them out now? And she couldn't give me an answer. So I went to, last weekend, I went to get the Father's Day card.
Okay.
And I went to one Walgreens in my neighborhood. They were just barely putting them out, girl.
Wow.
They were just barely putting them out. So she told me, well, if you come back in an hour, we'll have them ready for you to get. I said,
wow.
I went to another store, and I got my card.
Wow.
And it made me start thinking, okay, why is it that we don't regard Father's Day as highly as we do Mother's Day? That's perturbing me right now. Do you know why you think why they might do that?
You know, I got to think about that segment that you play with Bishop Jakes and Roland Martin earlier about the moms, mom. You know, we always go for moms, mothers, grandmothers. We always point to them. And I got a chance to listen to the rest of that interview. And in the rest of the interview, Roland Martin made a comment about, Bishop Jakes made a comment about how times have changed. You know, women at one point, we were much more oppressed than we are now. And, you know, there was a time we couldn't vote. We had women's suffrage and all of that. Now we can vote. Well, we black women still couldn't for a while, but, but you know,
right.
And then we could vote. And then women started to take on jobs and positions that men typically held. And when they started taking on jobs in the entertainment and media industries, there was a shift. Mm-hmm. And so the oppressed became the oppressor. And you see a lot of dads taking on very menial roles, and they're acting like they're the babysitters of kids as opposed to their actual parent. And they look to the mother to provide the discipline and the rhyme and the reason and the this and that for the kids. And so it's almost like the father's role has been taken completely out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I think some households still recognize the strength of especially if you are in a Christian family, you recognize the strength of the male being in the home. But there's still a lot of people getting away with this this crime of not allowing a man to be a man and to actually serve his full duty. And so as a result, we see Father's Day cards coming in later. You know, we see, I mean, because women do all the shopping, you know, they market to us. They market clothing to us. They market even the kids' clothes are this marketed to us. Even the men's clothes are marketed to us.
Yes, you know, the fragrances, the jewelry, the ties, all of that.
Exactly. So that we, so then, so if we like it, then a man's gonna like it because we like it, you know. Mm. And so we got to kind of put that ball back in their court and let them own being who they are, you know, because we could have gone a completely different direction with our show. I've heard shows this week that kind of gave the bad with the good, but you know, I think if we focus more on the good, then some of that bad, it'll start to diminish slowly. We we won't have to, you know, because there are lots of great dads out here.
Oh, absolutely.
And even, I mean, nobody's perfect. I mean, so there are lots of dads who are trying to do a better job. And so I think it's important that we as women give them that opportunity. Mm-hmm. And that we have expectations, you know, as women. And I can only speak from a woman's point of view, to have high expectations of men. Because when you have an expectation of an of a man, then he will do his best, depending on his relationship with you, to fulfill that expectation. But if you don't have any expectation for yourself and for him, then you get what you get, you know.
That's big facts, as my brother would say. facts.
you get what you get, because, I mean, I know we've seen all kinds of, we've seen some things, you know, I put up with some things before. You know, and that's the importance of, like, especially when you think about the girl dad movement. You know, I'm not, my daughters, they go on daddy-daughter dances, and I go to mother-son dances and things like that. That's something we didn't do growing up. I mean, I didn't do the
debutante thing. And
And I did do the debutante in high school, but it wasn't like I know that it's a major big deal. Like, I just did it because other people were doing it, kind of, but it wasn't because that was a big deal in our family. So, but I think that it is important. The daddy daughter dances, I love to see how the girls go out with my husband, and I like how they react to him and their expectations of him. And even my son, how when we go to the mother son dance, how he opens the door and he just assumes that I have these expectations of him and that I may not have even communicated.
Yeah.
But he's but he's going to step up and be a man because either he's seen that model in his dad before or he's seen it model in a man before. So he's imitating what he sees. So I think that the dances are great, but I think the modeling of the behaviors from both parents are extremely important, especially when it comes to letting a girl. I just got to thinking the other day, I came across some Valentine's Day gifts that my dad got me this past Valentine's Day. And on top of me calling him and saying like, hey dad, I'm married. My dad, he will drop whatever he's doing. He was in my yard a few weeks ago hoeing the weeds out the yard like it's his yard. Like, if I say daddy, I need, he is gonna come. And so but I just realized, like, you know, I don't give my kids like a lot of Valentine's Day stuff because I'm not real big on Valentine's Day.
Right.
But I just realized that my dad every year gets me a Valentine's Day gift, gets me and my sister a Valentine's Day gift. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm a little old for bears and stuff now. I'm not gonna say I'm a little old because some people like, but I mean, I give them to my daughter now. But
right.
The bears and the candy and things like that. And I had to think, wait, my dad, he's truly my first love. Like, he is really, like, you know, we get caught up in who's courting us for mm-hmm. on Valentine. He is courting me.
But our dad was modeling.
Yes.
The expectations
yeah.
that we should have. Now, yes. granted, some of them are a little not
right.
But it's not going to look the same.
No, it's not.
In every man. And so we have it's to, not. We can't compare.
No, at all.
At all. And, so.
And even with him, like, I grew up in the house of my dad, but he wasn't, like, he just liked for us to be there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We didn't have a whole bunch of conversations. We weren't like we weren't going on these dates. Like, my daughter's, now they have conversations with my husband. Mm-hmm. We didn't have those types of conversations with my dad. He was just there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so when I say the Valentine's gifts, I mean, I look at that as like, oh, wow, he was doing it. Because I'm not saying we never had a conversation, because mm-hmm. we did. But now I think kids, their conversations with their parents are a lot more different than what ours were.
Yeah, and it's because of the generations that they came out of. You mm-hmm. know, there's just certain things that, number one, we didn't talk about with our parents.
Right.
They didn't want to hear all that.
Yeah.
They didn't want to talk about that. That was for another time. Or definitely. Not at all, depending right. on what they, you know, what their perception was.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
I know, you know, not getting just solely into moms, but I know there's certain things my mama, because I was open about mm-hmm. talking about stuff, and my mom was mm-hmm. like,
right.
Talk about that.
Right. Yes. Yes. I mean, you know, and I'm just gonna be real. I think they did the best that they could.
Absolutely.
But I think that there were some times or some opportunities that were missed because we're just so structured, or we were just so structured to, no, we're not gonna either talk about that, or no, I just better not see this. Or, you know, we were very caught up into the expectations without explaining why those expectations were important in detail. And right. so now I'm able to say, and not just to my kids, but any kids that I come across, you know, these are the reasons why these expectations are here. We set these expectations because we want to see this in you. You know, we have an expectation because we want you to have one for yourself.
Exactly.
And we want you, you know, we want to see you succeed, and we kind of break it down to their understanding, to their level, and not just say, well, hey, you better not come in my house with this and such, da, 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 because you don't live. that's how James Evans parenting. That's
yes.
I ain't saying everybody houses like that, but I know a good majority of my friends and people
that like that.
With, it was like, look, this is my house and mm-hmm. you can get out. Right.
Like, okay, I know a lot of people may not have watched 227.
Right.
But, you know, I think Mary in that mm-hmm. movie, in that show, was a little bit more strict than her husband.
Yeah. Right.
But
right.
He wouldn't allow Brenda mm-hmm. to pit him against his mom. So they work together right. and they collaborate. So that's that's another type mom, of example yeah. of a father.
Right.
You know, the one that yeah. co-parents, for real co-parents, and works right. with the mom. Like, nah, you're not going to
right. You're not going to play me. No.
No, we're not doing right. that. Or I think about my wife and kids, because that's a more up-to-date.
Right.
Sitcom, right? Where right. Damon Wayans' character when Junior has the baby. He really tries to show him how to man up, and really honestly, Junior became a man when he fathered that baby and got married.
Right.
I'm not saying that he needed to father a baby so that he could, you know, man up, but that's, you know, sometimes going through certain situations will either fight or flight, sink or swim, do or die. And you just have to rise to the occasion. And that's where so many fathers, whether they're rich, poor, black, white, they have risen to the occasion. Mm-hmm. And as a result, the fruit of their labor has been, you know, wonderful children, you know, mm-hmm. no matter what they've accomplished or where mm-hmm. they're directed or where they're headed, you know. So I guess the question is, what can we do to better celebrate mm-hmm. fathers? What can we do to better celebrate and get the industry or the marketers to really understand? I guess we have to put a value mm-hmm. on fathers so mm-hmm. that they can see that mm-hmm. there are consumers that will actually purchase things and do things for their fathers, but mm-hmm. they don't see a market.
Right. You know, in this conversation, it just made me think of this. And I think also, again, the clip that you played with Bishop Jakes earlier. Mm-hmm. When I look at Mother's Day commercials and I look at things geared toward mothers during that time, I think about, I mean, it's so many things that'll almost drive you to tears.
Yeah, no.
When you look at Father's Day commercials and things like that, it's rare that I'm driven to tears. And that's sad. Yeah. It's sad. Because basically what I'm being told is that there is no seeing the sacrifice. Nobody sees the sacrifice that's being made. So, you know, we have dads who work like horses, and then they come home and they just want to sleep, or they just want to eat, or they just want to watch TV, and they just want to relax. And the industries are changing now. You know, a lot more men are working in offices or whatever, but the expectations are still kind of there for them to kind of perform at a certain level, especially mm-hmm. if they're going to be earning more than women.
Right.
So I think that we need to recognize that there is a sacrifice also in being a man, being a male parent, that there's no perfection there and nobody's looking for you to be perfect. We see you working hard. We see you on the front lines doing whatever it is that you do.
Yes.
And we just want to recognize that. And it's nothing wrong with just like we say, oh, women, I mean, that women moms, you're doing a great job. There's nothing wrong with making that an equal playing field. You know, mm-hmm. No one person should be the bearer of everything in a household. Like I told my kids the other day, I said, you're at an age where you can help in the household because no one person should be like burdened down with washing everybody's clothes, four or five people's clothes, you know.
No.
No one person should be burdened down with, you know, we all have the ability to do something in this house and we need to do it. So I think that the same for parenting. We need to let the world know that dads are present.
Yes, they are.
Their sacrifices are equally important. And if they're not in the house with the mom, for whatever reason, still their sacrifice is equally important. And I think that even the ones who, oh, I just pay child support, or I have them on the weekend or every other weekend or whatever the case is, then you start to see, well, what is you working for that child support or that every other weekend looks like? Okay, let's say you're not married yet, but you have them every other weekend. well, what does that every other weekend look like? You know, I think one of the, that cartoon, that snippet, that Hair Love cartoon.
I love that.
I love it too. It just kind of gave you like a little piece of what dads can do, you know? And when the mom was sick and everything, and just how that affected him as well. Like, it's almost like we don't put a human side to being a man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like emotions only run deep with women. But men, it's like you're only supposed to be strong, and we're not supposed to see that emotional side.
Yeah.
My dad has cried too, you know, and I've seen my husband cry. Men, they're strong, but we need to see that vulnerable side, that humanity that exists within them that the media just refuses to allow us to buy into.
And us as people too, we have this unknown code that men are not supposed to be emotional or express. Right. The only way that they're to express their emotion is through anger.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't cry and they can't be sad and they can't. No.
Yeah.
That it doesn't work like that. And so we have so many fathers who have they provide, they take care of their families, they support, they secure.
Yeah.
They go play, they go to the basketball games, they go to the football games, they coach Little League.
Mm-hmm.
And they do all of those things. And even if they don't do that, whatever you do as a father to take care of your family. Mm-hmm. To support your children, dads, daddies, pops, we see you, we hear you, we love you, and we want you to know on Brand New Day that Deanne and I love you very much, and we salute you for everything you do for your families, and we just say keep up the excellent work and know that you can do all things through Christ that strengthens you because you were indeed made for this.
Yes.
You were made for this. And
made
so
for it.
And so we just we're so happy to salute you on this special broadcast of Father's Day on Brand New Day with Emily Blue. And up next, here is Beyonce with Daddy. Right here on the Best of Inspirational Music and Conversation Radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue.
My husband to be like my daddy. There is no one. Fathers matter because we need to see that symbol. That image of the father is very important. It's important to the young lady. It's important to that young man.
Being present, being there. But even when I'm away, I find a way to be present somehow.
Hello, Fearless Families, and this is Deanne Lax. This Sunday, we are taking a lesson from our fathers. So, I've been married to my husband for almost 12 years in August, and we have three amazing children. When we got married, he was father to our oldest daughter, who is now 20. She was 8 at the time. And I learned so much from about being a parent from him. And, you know, we've made some great strides and we've made some mistakes along the way. But all in all, I have to say that my husband, he's a great dad. And I thought it would be fun just to kind of get a few questions in from our kids to kind of see what they thought about their dad and to get some questions and answers from him, something that I think that they'll be able to remember for a lifetime. And so maybe that's something we can do this Sunday with all of our families, and that's sit around the table and ask dad some questions about fatherhood and see what he says and take some lessons from him. And we can pass those lessons on for generations to come. So here it goes. And at the end, you'll hear my little one saying, talking about the favorite biblical father being God. So know that I am not correcting my husband, because at the end he did say, oh, I heard you're trying to correct me. I am actually answering her question. So here goes, and I hope you enjoy.
You like being a father?
Do I like being a father? Absolutely, yes, I do. I love it.
What is the best Father's Day gift we can get you, or that you have gotten?
The best Father's Day gift I can get is to have all of my children and my family and my wife all under one roof at the same time.
I can't see.
Have you ever made any parenting mistakes?
Have I ever made parenting mistakes? Absolutely. Yes, I have. But you make mistakes because you're not perfect. Nobody is perfect. And you own the mistakes, and then you move on.
Do you have any suggestions for new fathers?
My suggestion for new fathers would be to actually go back to the last question. You are going to make mistakes because you're not perfect. The kids are not perfect, and you're not always going to do the right thing. But my suggestion is always make sure that prayer is a part of your life. And I learned a long time ago that if you follow God and you pray to him for tough decisions that you have to make, then he'll guide you in the best path possible. And then always go with your gut instinct after that.
Who is your favorite father in the Bible?
My favorite father in the Bible would be everyone's father, Abraham.
Father Abraham? Right. Well, God definitely, but we're talking about men.
Right.
All right. Thank you, Brother Lex. And happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you, Lax family, for this week's awesome Fearless Family segment on this special Father's Day broadcast. You're tuned into the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. Well, we have reached the end of our show. Remember to tune in to all of our shows throughout the week on the We Talk Radio Network. We would love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions and comments at eblue@wetalkradio.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Brand New Day Emily and Rearing Royalty. And keep the conversation going. Tell us what ways you celebrate your father, grandfather, and father figures. Let's recap. Our Fresh Start segment was Creating the Balance. Our Renewed Heart segment was I Am a Daddy's Girl. Our Live Smart segment was Longing for Dad. Our Fearless Family segment was Lessons from Our Father. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for every father, every uncle, every grandfather, every father figure who has impacted the lives of many, many people, Lord God. We pray that you keep your hands on them, O God, and that you would keep them in perfect peace and guide them and direct them. Order our steps as we go through this week, O God. God, give us peace that passes all understanding. Only you can do it. We can't do it in and of ourselves. We thank you and bless you. In your name we pray. Amen. We would like to leave all fathers, grandfathers, and father figures with an uplifting scripture from Proverbs 20:7. The righteous man walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. Thank you again for tuning in to the best of inspirational music and conversation radio, Brand New Day with Emily Blue, right here on We Talk Radio. Here's the late, great, legendary Donny Hathaway with Someday We'll All Be Free.
When you think about your father, Donny, the legend, how do you keep his legacy alive in your life?
I get up every day and I breathe and create music. And I mean, I take my legacy very seriously. I represent for my parents, and my mom is with me. She travels with me everywhere.
Musician background too.
Absolutely. My parents met at Howard University in the School of Fine Arts. They were both music students there. And, you know, I really feel like so many records that my father wrote in the 60s and 70s are so poignant right now. Like Little Ghetto Boy and Someday We'll All Be Free and The Ghetto and We Need You Right Now and so many songs he sang, Come Ye Disconsolate and Young, Gifted, and Black. To be conscious at that time of life and be writing so prophetically, you know what I mean? That those records are so poignant then in 1971, and here we are in 2017, and God willing, if there's a 3017, you'll still be singing those songs. Mm-hmm. That was a mode of resistance, you know? Brighter days will soon be here.
moment.